It's the same old story. It's been a long day at the job, or maybe it's just starting to feel long, and you feel that urge to stretch your legs and get a little bit of a break. You walk down the street, or maybe you get behind the wheel of your car, and you feel the weight begin to lift. You walk through the doors, and the sound of the place starts to clear the air. You get a table, you order your drink, you listen to the sounds of the bar, and soak in the conversation. Welcome to the T&E Speakeasy, with your hosts, Caleb and Isaac. Listen in as they discuss the 2023 film, The Boy and the Heron.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, those in between and unaffiliated. Today, I think this may be one of the first for the new year of 2024, excuse me. Caleb and I are here to discuss the recent Hayao Miyazaki Studio Ghibli film, The Boy and the Heron. Am I saying that right?
Yep, that's it. The Boy and the Heron.
Yeah, The Boy and the Heron. I had seen this. When did I see this? Sorry, I watched this on December 19th, 2023, so about a week ago. Sorry, we could go from when we're recording this.
Yeah, I saw it on December 12th. So it's been like 2 weeks for me. A little bit longer than 2 weeks.
Yes, no, several, a few weeks now. So today we're going to just give our review and our, our quick thoughts over this film that came out. And discuss it for a while. So, I know this is kind of brief, or maybe I'm catching you off guard, but how did you feel briefly about this film?
When I walked out of the theater, I said to my partner, she asked me if I liked it, and I said, yeah, no, I liked it. I'd like to see it again, though. There's some things in there that I'm not quite sure about, but I quite like those bird guys. That's essentially what I said, paraphrased a little bit. I think she came out more positive than I did on my initial viewing. But I'm definitely not negative. I liked quite a bit of it. I just feel like there's some bits in there that I want to wrap my head around a little bit better. But how about you?
Yeah, I know what you mean by that. This definitely felt like you'd have to go back to this film again, because it's not one of his... I'm not going to say any of his films are straightforward. I guess you could say that is the case.
Some of them are.
But This one is a lot more thinking and thoughtful, let's put it that way. There's a lot of metaphors and allegories here, which I liked. When I came out of this film, I definitely, what I saw was not so much. I couldn't literally take anything I saw on screen as literal, in that, because I feel like maybe some people, I want to give some people credit. I don't want to just throw a lot of people under the bus, but I definitely believe that if you thought of this film in the literal sense, it doesn't make any sense. But if you look at it in a metaphorical sense, there's a lot going on here. Just kept saying. So I'm like, oh, okay, I gotta watch this again for that. And it's I'm not getting the feeling of, oh, I'm watching another Nausicaa or another Princess Mononoke. And to be honest here, by the way, this is my first time ever watching a Miyazaki film released, a brand new release Miyazaki film in theaters. I hadn't known about his works back in 2013 with The Wind Rises, nor did I. They probably showed that somewhere, but this is kind of a really, obviously we've been watching, they've been doing Ghibli Fest every year. It's a yearly thing that G-Kids does, but I'm talking about a newly released Hayao Miyazaki Studio Ghibli film. I'm making sure I say Hayao Miyazaki, because I know there have been some prior Ghibli released films, or I think prior to that. Yeah. So it's I got to make that very clear. This is with the maestro himself releasing a film of his. So maybe his last one. I don't believe, by the way, straight up, I don't think this will be his last film. I think he will make another film after this. I feel like he's still got gas left in the tank, and it'll say he's going to retire, and the man just will die on his desk. The man will die on his deathbed working no, not even deathbed. He will die at his desk, making his last film. Anyways, sorry. Pardon me for saying that, because he's just so passionate with his work.
By the way, just before you continue, I'll tell this funny little tidbit. So I've got this list of my favorite directors that are still working, still actively working. And my cutoff is 10 years. If they haven't produced something new in 10 years, then I put them on the inactive list. And so Miyazaki, he would have, I was waiting. I was like, oh, you know, 2023, it's coming up. Well, I guess he's going to go on the inactive list next year. And I was sad to think. And then I think it was in 2022 when they announced that, yeah, he was going to put out a new feature. And I was like, I'm not going to, like, I'm going to hold my nose here. I don't know if he's actually going to make this. Because I too was like, maybe he's going to die before this even comes out. He seems like he's looking a little bit more fragile these days. But yeah, no, I also agree. I don't know if this can be his last. I feel like, I don't know why I feel it, but I feel like maybe he's got the bug again. But well, I guess we'll see.
Of course, yeah. You know, given that he's his body is slowing down by way of age, I mean, excuse me, it's going to happen to all of us. Yeah, if it doesn't come out immediately, I get it. But no, I'm just like, yeah, Caleb, you're proven wrong. You were proven falsely this time.
Yeah,
you were incorrect. Yeah. Anyways, so, whoop-de-doo. So yeah, what I felt coming out of this, I definitely. What I did see, I saw so many references, and or at least, I don't know if references, but different artifacts, as I'm using that word again, where it's like different like story beats, or at least different ideas that Miyazaki has, like he does this all the time. If you watch his, you know, movies religiously, or like, you know, many times, you'll notice that he uses a lot of the same, not just themes, but images as well. There's so many things that was like, oh, this feels like a lot of like, I'm not calling it his greatest hits, but definitely it feels like it's almost all of his movies, and or at least one element from each of his movies plucked out and put in to create this movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and by the way, I did talk to a friend who saw it, and they were very much saying like, oh, this just feels like Studio Ghibli greatest hits, and that Miyazaki was recycling a lot of what was going on here. I could see their point. I didn't fully agree, but I could definitely see the point made. And they're even pointing out the those little marshmallow guys. What are they called again?
I would have told you a week ago had I remembered them, but yeah. Yeah, like not Merrills, but they're, you know, Kodama Light or Kodamas again.
Yeah, they're kind of like, oh, if you look at all the equivalent Miyazaki ones that we'd seen before, those kind of cute designs, there's always something about them that seems special or unique. But these ones almost seemed lazy, like they were really just like little, almost like clouds with eyes on them, little like blobs. And yeah, they're not impressed by that.
Interesting. Now, while I said all that, I'm not saying this out of like, oh, he's a hack. No. Because yes. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with using the same images. It's just, how do you tell like a different story with them, or like, you know, new mm-hmm. meaning and context. And I think he was able to do that. Now, the marshmallow guys, they were too cute. They were too cute for me. I didn't like that. I was, at least that part, I was like, they're too adorable. I'm not feeling it with them, but of course they serve their purpose. Of course, the fact that my movie I watched in Japanese, so I didn't get a chance to listen to, well, wasn't going to anyways, but didn't watch or listen to the English cast over this. Anyway, but definitely when they said, I don't know if it's spoilers, but definitely when what's her name was like, oh yeah, these little fellows, these white fellows that go up to the sky, and that's where humans are created. So it's like, ah, okay, so my perverted brain is like, oh, so that's the semen. Okay, got it.
Yeah, I think they're more mean the souls, but
that too. But they are also rising out of the sea, so while they're not necessarily men, but they will create humans, they are technically seamen. Anyway, that's where my stupid brain went. Anyways.
Yeah, I just have to say this, because the response to those little guys by the people behind me, there was this family behind me. They'll never listen to this. I'll call them out. They came into the movie like right when it was starting, and they were just a little bit too loud when they were settling in. Like, they're a little bit much. They kept bumping into my seat too. And they got me started off on a bad foot. I was like, oh no, is this family going to be a bit much? There's four of them. And yeah, they're talking a little bit too much too as the movie was beginning, and I was like, okay, these folks, like, what's going on with them? But when they saw those little guys, I was like, they were making such strange sounds. It almost sounded like orgasmic. And one of the little guys died there. Spoilers, I guess, mildly, very mild spoilers. Yeah, they were screaming like, "Oh no, oh no!" And yeah, it was. I was like, "Wow, yeah, maybe these guys are a little bit basic in terms of these cute little Miyazaki little designs, but it definitely served that family very well. They were, like I said, they sounded orgasmic towards how much they were in love with those little designs. And they weren't the only ones in the theater, by the way. There was tons of oohs and ahs and people audibly showing their pleasure at some of the designs and stuff that we got in this movie.
Very interesting. I guess your best thing and your worst thing about this film.
My best thing, weird, I want to say the ending for whatever reason. I don't know why. I think overall, I like the lead character quite a bit. I just always enjoyed being in the scenes with him, and whatever this little strange in a way coming of age story, I just feel like it had a lot of emotional punch to it. Worst thing, again, I have to rewatch it, but there's a part of me that feels like the movie felt a little bit unfocused in some way. Like, it felt a little unwieldy. Like, there was a lot of really interesting ideas packed into it that didn't necessarily feel like they cohered, and maybe was a bit too long. But again, that might change on a second viewing. But that's all I got for now. How about you?
Yeah, fair enough on this viewing, or at least this discussion. I think I'm largely similar. Again, I think I had a bunch of stuff written down. Or not written down, but I think I had a lot of ideas concrete last week, but it's been a week, so kind of forgotten about them. But I think I will at least say worst thing, not, you know, oh, this doesn't ruin the movie for me. But at least one thing I did realize is that, yeah, there was a lot of elements that could have gone longer with. In fact, I feel like this movie could have been longer. I feel like, I know we have been seeing a recent trend where, you know, movies are 3 hours long and you don't want that. But
no,
at least in this case, honestly, I felt like they could have gone longer with the amount of stuff that they did set up. But there was that where there was a lot of setups, and or at least there was a lot of hints at maybe there's more to some of these sides of the story than what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it like, you know, like a whole lived in world? But obviously he's not able to, you know, focus on everything. Like, if you go to Mononoke, for instance, like, that's, you know, got a lot going for it, and at least focuses on, you know, those characters there. I guess I could distill it down to maybe say like the Parrot King, for instance. With his motivations, I won't obviously, you know, spoil it, but with his motivations, that definitely made me go, oh, okay, this, there could have been more with that. Maybe that is a little spoiler, but that definitely is at least one of the elements, or at least that does kind of, I guess, back your and my like worst thing, air quotes. Best thing, good grief. I think it has to be the ending with regards to the main character and the wise man, basically the wise man and their interaction. That is, I think, my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, some really beautiful imagery there, and yeah, I think some impactful, just like emotional moments between the two of them too. Yeah, and I wanted to say, for because again, I feel like after one viewing, I really don't feel qualified to comment, because I feel like a movie like this, there's a lot going on. It's very dense, and I feel like you need that second viewing, or adjusting your expectations in a way, and kind of understanding some of the stuff early on to get where it's going. And I've seen a lot of people out the gate, first viewing, almost immediately after it was released, people coming out like, oh, Miyazaki's lost it. This movie's almost incoherent.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it. I knew it.
I was just sitting there kind of like, maybe give it a second viewing. I mean, this is Hayao Miyazaki. Like, when I saw Spirited Away as a kid, and again, I was a kid, but I was like, holy fuck. Like, maybe I didn't say holy fuck as a kid, but I was definitely like, this feels out there. There's so much here I don't understand, but there's so much good here that I want to understand. I feel like there's stuff I'm missing I feel like there's a lot of people who are just so reactionary, especially when it comes to movies that are a little bit more abstract is probably the best word for something like this. But maybe not. I'm not sure what the word is.
Thoughtful.
Yeah, thoughtful. Yeah.
Taking its time. People are, you know, impatient. They're so quick to judge, whatever you want to call it that. Just having very like small attention spans. These people who expect another, great film. And instead they get something a little bit more thoughtful and abstract. And again, like I said, there's a lot of metaphorisms and allegories going on here than what we think. It's almost like there's an invisible war of some sort that's happening that they don't even know about. It's like behind the scenes drama, potentially.
Yeah, not just expecting or wanting another great film, wanting one that's spoon-fed to them. But then if it was spoon-fed to them, they'd be like, oh, Miyazaki, too obvious. So I just think that, definitely I don't feel in a place to really give a full judgment of this on a first viewing. That just feels half-baked. So for a lot of those folks, I would say, don't go with your instant gut response. Maybe just sit back, ruminate, and then come back either on home video or see it again in the theater. And maybe you'll see something new. And someone like Hayao Miyazaki, who's had such a career full of accolades, he's earned that second fucking viewing from you, is in my opinion. So.
Yeah, I don't want to obviously lament humanity right now and those who don't instantly get it as like, tell me how I think. Like the internet needs to like, you tell me how to think. Not like I don't have that. What Miyazaki is trying to tell you in this film is how do you live? How does one live? By the end of it, my read right now currently is it is the passing of a torch. It's almost maybe, and maybe I'm incorrect in this, but it's almost a apology and or a passing of the torch to somebody who he may have hurt in the past. Mm. And I mean, I'm talking about Miyazaki, where the metaphors are clearly discussing real world things that we aren't even aware of, or at least if you do your behind the scenes knowledge that it's stuff's going on. So I'll at least maybe save that for when we get to it.
Sure.
But I don't know if you're kind of getting at what I'm...
No.
Gauge what I'm getting at, but fair enough. Yeah.
When it comes to behind-the-scenes stuff, I really don't know too much about Hayao Miyazaki as a person. I never watched that documentary about him or... Yeah.
Read any of the books regarding the, life and early times of him and, the life of Studio Ghibli itself?
Nope.
The man is...
I just know the work itself, not the behind-the-scenes.
Well, that's the thing. Don't look into your heroes because I'm not gonna say it's a disappointment, but I don't know if it's on the level of Walt Disney. I don't think he's on that same level. Mm. But let's just say that there is a human being, a flawed person, heresy as people will say right now, leaving our channel.
Burn the witch. Burn him.
Burn the witch. I'll take it. I'll descend into flames just as what's her face in this film? Because golly, her design is awesome.
There you go.
But like, no, there's a flawed human being behind the maestro himself. So one must accept that. And I feel like he put a bunch of his flaws on display. And I definitely recommend him for that. Or at least very rarely, but I definitely like respect him for doing that. It definitely takes some guts and or at least, And one to not seem, how to put this, a little bit too, how to put it, over dramatic. I think he had a careful balance with that. But again, I think definitely it is something to watch a second time.
Yeah, and I couldn't help wondering if years from now, like 2 decades or so from now, if people will look back on Hayao Miyazaki's career and think that his last two films could almost be a companion piece in a way to like personal sides of the director. I definitely was thinking a lot of this character as young Hayao Miyazaki, or maybe the old, or maybe just parts of him, and the old man that we see, being another part of Hayao Miyazaki. And The Wind Rises is so much about himself and his kind of aspirations in filmmaking as well. So I was definitely thinking about that. And I, even though it's a story told about like a young boy, I was like, I can feel an older man's hand behind this story, telling it the way he did.
Yeah, it is. It is a it was a book, or at least a story that he read as a child, and to see, this is the perfect tale to tell as you're ending the as your life is about to end, or at least you're getting into your older years. This is great. This is wonderful. I love the choice he made to pick just a simple story, and boy, he took it to different lengths, or he took it to places that I was not expecting. There was a point where I did think that we were going to go M because of certain doors. And I'm like, he's not doing what I think he's doing, right? You know, I'm speaking in riddles for obvious reasons. Just because with when they went into that whole like hallway full of a beautiful hallway, by the way. When they went into that hallway full of all those doors, when they were like just in like the underworld or whatever you want to call it, whatever world it's called, with all the water, I'm like, okay, where's Chihiro and sorry, not Chihiro. No, wait, right, yeah. Girl from Spirited Away, right?
Yeah, Chihiro.
Yeah, Chihiro, yeah. Thank you. I'm like, where's the train? Where is it? Like, come on, show me. And where's Ponyo? Because I don't know why. I just all of a sudden was like, Miyazaki's not actually going to, like, go multiverse on us, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, all right, so back to the episode. All right, Caleb, where else do you want to go with this? It's, I admit I don't want to go too long with this because,
yeah,
geez, like, we will one day do the Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli stuff, but
oh my goodness,
I suppose it'll have to be discussions, and like not just for commentaries.
100%. That's one of the reasons I never wanted to do it early on in the show, because I was like, I don't want to do commentaries on this. I don't think I ever brought it up to you, but I was like, I want to wait until we can finally move away from this commentary stuff.
Oh, you think we'll like one day completely like phase it out?
No, it would definitely work with certain projects, but we were not experienced enough to know how to do commentaries back when we were, or discussions, we first started this. So I wanted to wait. I think in my head, I was like, oh, well, we can do it like on the 10-year anniversary of the show, which when I think about now is coming up in like 2 years. So holy shit.
Well, actually, I was going to say, oh, you and I are thinking in the right headspace, but actually we're not, because I was dead set on not even touching any of those until like we're in the thousands, if not 1100.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot.
1100 commentaries and discussions, not speakeasies.
Yeah, that'll be a while.
Because there's so much other stuff that we can touch. Like, we haven't even touched the well. It's like, I do not want to touch those until like way down the line. I'm not interested in that.
Sure. And really, when you think about it, in terms of like the series format of doing like deep dives into a director's career, we haven't even touched the surface of that, really.
Nope.
James Cameron, haven't even finished up. I guess we finished up George Lucas at this point. But
hang on, does Strange Magic count, or is that not him?
He produced it, didn't direct it.
Okay. No, we're done with Lucas.
Yeah, so I guess we've done two. But two out of how many filmmakers are out there? And we haven't finished Kubrick yet, so yeah, we've got a long, long way to go before we're really familiar with this format.
How about Mr. or Sir, or however you'd call him, Bergman?
We've like touched like three of the, I think it was in the 40s of films he's made. So. Yes, we got a long way to go there.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things that we definitely need to touch on, and unfortunately for me, this is another reason why I really want to see it a second time, is, I don't know about you, I don't know how much you're going to the theater this year. I saw this trailer maybe 30 times, and by the time we were getting close to the end, before when it was finally starting to come close to the release date, I was like, please stop playing this trailer. I can't see this trailer anymore. Stop playing this trailer. And I was starting to go out of my mind. And so I feel like when I finally watched the movie, certain Joe Hayashi pieces were a little bit ruined for me, a little bit. I could still try my best to separate them from the trailer, But certain moments that were big moments in the trailer in terms of the music just did not have the right impact watching the actual film. And so I'm looking forward to being far enough removed from that trailer where I won't even think about it anymore when I watch the movie. But how did the music stand up for you?
Well, first off, did not. I mean it when I say I did not even see a single trailer for this. So,
oh wow.
Wow, am I like grateful for not going to the theater this year and being bombarded by these trailers that you were saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, composer Joe, like a most humble man and so many, like a maestro of his own with them, with music.
Hmm.
Reserved, held back, I think. I think he did something a little different with his usual foray into scoring a Hayao Miyazaki film.
Hmm.
I think he went in a different direction. It's not as there as it you think it would be, but that's intentional. When it is there, it's not as full, or how else would I put it? It's not as involved as, say, like some of his previous works were. I'll be honest, though, the only one that I kind of forgot about is I've only seen it once, though, but I've kind of forgotten about his Wind Rises themes. But I remember when you and I watched that, I was moved by his, well, I've always been moved by his scores, but I do remember that in the moment. But so that's the one that I got to go back to again. But as far as this one did stand out to me for how little it was there, but when it was there and how simple the notes were and reserved they were, and I guess conservative, if I can use that term. I was like, oh, okay. I think I see where he's going with this. He's letting, I guess, the actions of the characters speak out more than the music itself for it to stand out.
Yeah, and the visuals in the later half. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting, because I was wondering if... would you say you felt underwhelmed a little bit by his music, or no?
I feel, again... I don't know, like between the two of them, I don't know how it works. If Miyazaki gives like an outline of what he's going to do with his film, and then composer Joe, interprets that himself, or if, you know, it's like, you know, Williams and Lucas, where both are like, were involved with at least the scoring of, say, like A New Hope. So it's not like Williams is in the dark. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't fully know how that process works. It's obviously probably been documented. But as for this, I definitely feel that potentially maybe composer Joe made the decision to, again, the fellow himself is also getting up there in age. Thankfully, even if he didn't have to compose, like, you know, with stamina or whatnot, he could still at least, you know, compose music, you know, on his own. If that makes sense, sorry. I feel like, yeah, he did try to have the music take a back seat over the drama that was taking place on screen.
Mm.
Instead of, like I said, where we usually have that stuff occur, where the music is kind of a character itself in Miyazaki's films.
Yeah, huge presence. Yeah. Yeah, and there was definitely some good moments with the music in this and some strong themes. The problem is those strong themes were used heavily in the trailer, and yeah, again, that trailer drove me crazy by the end. So, but I still think that the music was served the film well. It's just I need to get some distance from that. And they would play in front of everything. Usually movies it'll just be whatever the studio's putting out. It didn't matter what I was seeing. The Boy and the Heron played every time. I don't know how much they were paying for their Canadian distribution marketing, but they went too hard for me. So, but it paid out. The movie was a big success financially. So,
excellent. I can't be happy enough that hopefully this made it's a profit in terms of capitalism. I hope it made a profit and it will earn its budget back. And yeah, they'll like hopefully make tenfold in that case. But as for me, yeah, well, I guess I'm just stupid, just utter stupid luck, and I rolled absolutely absurd in this because, yeah, I did not see at all a a single one of the Boy and the Heron's trailers, so I have no idea what this man is talking about. I barely saw any images of the film itself either.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and again, I did see that it reached... it was the first Hayao Miyazaki film to reach number one in the Canadian box office on its opening weekend. So again, they were hammering hard, but for I guess it worked out. And I was there opening weekend too. So I was definitely happy to see it.
I think if I had to lament something, though, I'm kind of sad that... I hope that... Both, just like Barbie and Oppenheimer, I hope that both these films can, coincide and not like rival each other. It is kind of like it did worry me when the fact that Minus One and The Boy and the Heron was it a week or two or 2 weeks between each other? Like, I was worried. Yeah. I was like, please, no, please don't, like, one swallow the other. I don't want that to happen because both are really good.
Yeah. Yeah, and both of them, it did much bigger than the studios were expecting in North America. So I think, I don't know if it was synergy, but either way, the two of them did very well. And Japanese box office, I think, had another really big success in the West this year. I wish I could remember what it was called, but... there was definitely lots of articles going around of like, whoa, is maybe Japanese studios have underestimated their marketability in the West. So maybe we'll see in a few years more and more of their releases coming here, like we've seen with South Korean films.
So with, at least in the beginning of the film, not giving it too much away, because of, you know, having recently watched Godzilla Minus One, and it being set, you know, during the 40s. I don't know if that's a spoiler or not, but, you know, I guess it's in the movie. I was actually kind of expecting, oh, we're going to have another period piece on our hands with regards to The Boy and the Heron, because it is, like, set during World War II. So I'm like, oh, okay, let's go for that. And they went in a completely different direction. I definitely like that. It definitely made me wonder, like, oh, what was this going to look like? Because it, because if I recall, it's My Neighbor Totoro, it took place in the 30s, I believe, correct?
Oh, I do not remember that.
I thought it was the 30s or 40s or sometime at that around then. But either way, so I was waiting for something like that. But anyway, so that, it was interesting how both actually, like, you know, coincide with each other, being set during World War II. Very, very interesting with that.
Yeah, no, that is interesting. I didn't actually think about that. I should have thought about that. Maybe I did at the time. I can't remember now. It's been a little while.
Well, Caleb, is there anywhere else you'd like to go with these initial thoughts? Because I currently right now am okay. I'm perfectly all right with ending it here because, well, just, you know, I definitely want to go back and we'll return to this one day. But anywhere else you'd like to go with this film?
Yeah, I just want to give a final recommend to, if you haven't seen the film yet and it's still playing in your area, give it a watch. I mean, if this does end up being Hayao Miyazaki's last film, I mean, it's worthwhile to see a great filmmaker, his last film in the theater. That's something that you should probably do. And if you have seen it and you came away, you know, skeptical, give it some time and maybe give it a rewatch. I mean, how many people came away from Spirited Away on the first viewing knowing exactly what was going on there, what their exact reading was? I mean, sometimes films, I feel like sometimes people think with new release films that they have to either get it immediately or the movie didn't do a good enough job explaining to you what was going on. That's not always the way that films are, and I feel like Hayao Miyazaki is deserved, with his great reputation, I deserve more of the benefit of the doubt from movie viewers. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think every one of his films is a big winner. Some of them do have their flaws. And this one might end up being in that flawed category. But for now, I definitely am positive on it. And looking forward to giving it a second viewing. Hopefully in the theater. But how about you, Isaac? Any final bits for this discussion here?
Thank you, sir, for that. And listening out those... final thoughts there. Yeah, my final thoughts for this, yeah, as not to sound so cynical to the masses, the mainstream, the pop culture people, keep an open mind. That's all I'm saying. Keep an open mind with this. This is not an easy film. I think it's not a hard, abstract film or anything like that. It's not surreal or anything like that. I guess there could say there's some surreal images, but it's not fully, you know, it's not Eraserhead or anything like that. You know, maybe it's basic metaphors. I don't know. But definitely isn't what is to be expected with Miyazaki's plates, as you've seen up to this point. Maybe, as you've said, yeah, it is more similar in with The Wind Rises, with there's a lot more going on beneath the surface of this. And does this mean that if people don't get this, this is like The Last Jedi?
Yeah, by the way, this did release to critical acclaim. It's more, I think, just regular movie viewers that were more divided.
I see. Well, anyways, I give this a high recommendation. I implore, you know, anybody listening to go watch this multiple times, because this is, this is not once over. I think you need to watch this multiple times in order, I don't want to say to get it, but at least to maybe start to understand it a little better.
Yeah.
That's just me personally. I will enjoy this when it comes out. I really hope this one comes out on 4K, because that would definitely be one of the first, I think, of his films. Other than, I think, Castle of Cagliostro. But I don't know how often. Oh, yeah, no, a lot of anime are getting released in 4K. At least the new ones are. It's hard to do the old stuff. But anyways, anything else left on the table, sir?
No, I think this one's been, for this at least the first viewing, relatively picked clean. I think I'm good to go.
Anything left on the table is fine by me. I'll kick myself later for saying I should have said this. But you know what? I'm perfectly okay with not, you know, having anything left over to do. So with that, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, those between unaffiliated, for listening to us. Hopefully it was a intellectually stimulating conversation, entertaining, or just it was background white noise while you're doing your chores and activities. Till next time, please go watch this film. Peace.
There was a book that I was reading earlier this year called Piranesi, and it also dealt with kind of pocket universes in a way. And I was thinking a lot about that book watching this. So
interesting. That's awesome, though.